202-4626, providing service to Palm Beach, Broward, and Martin counties.
Welcome to the Keeping It Real Estate Show. This is a live call-in show, and I'm your host, Luke Lewis, along with my co-host, Tiffany Young, where we dive into everything real estate, from buying and selling to making smart investments. Our mission? To educate and keep you informed on the latest happenings in your local market. We're glad to have you with us. Let's get started.
772-207-6925.
Welcome back to Keeping It Real Estate, the show where we keep it real about all things real estate. I'm your host, Luke Lewis.
And I'm Tiffany Young. Today we have a special guest on the show.
Welcome to the Keeping It Real Estate
Show. Hi, guys. We are here with a special guest. Luke Lewis, along with my co-host, but give us a moment.
We dive into everything real estate, from buying and selling to making smart investments. Our mission? To educate and keep you informed on the latest happenings in your local market. We're glad to have you with us. Let's get started.
Hi, guys. Tiffany Young here, along with Luke Lewis.
Welcome to Keeping It Real Estate. I'm your host. Yep, we're having some technical difficulties here in the station. Just hang in there with us for a couple of seconds, and we're going to get this all worked out. The engineer's on it. Hope you're having a good day, and just hold on, okay?
And make smart real estate decisions.
Really smart real estate decisions. So today's topic is understanding the real estate markets. And today we're going to be talking about the buyer's market. We're going to share some information on the seller's market. And we're also going to discuss and bring into the fold, what is a balanced market?
Yeah, so we're going to cover what they are and how they differ. We'll also give you a few tools on how you can identify which market you're in and the opportunities that each market presents. And we'll throw in a few tips on how to navigate each market. And then we're going to update you on what's going on.
Okay, we've got that worked out. So welcome back to Keeping It Real Estate, the show where we keep it real about all things real estate. And I'm telling you, we're trying to keep it real tonight with the difficulties we're having here on the air at the station. So please excuse it. Okay, Tiffany?
Yeah, we have a special guest on the show, and we're discussing the probate puzzle, I guess. You know, today we're going to...
Good choice of words.
Yeah, try to untangle the mysteries of probate, real estate, and, you know, bring you some answers to questions that you probably didn't even know you had.
Yep, and after today's episode, we know that you're going to walk away with a lot, if not all of your probate questions answered. But before we get started, we'd like to share a little bit about who we are. We are Treasure Coast Realty Group, and we're located in Fort Pierce right here on the Treasure Coast. And the reason we started the radio show, just to be quite frank with you, we had a lot of people come into the office that were either not informed or misinformed when it came to real estate decisions. So we thought the show would be a great platform to be able to disseminate and push out information to the masses at one time, so that everybody gets the right information they need to move forward in making real estate decisions. But before we go any further, I'd like to quickly remind you that this is a live call-in show, and the number is 772-221-1100. Again, listeners, the number is 772-221-1100. And tonight we're going to do something a little different. Because of our guests and the information she's going to bring to you, we feel some of the questions could be a little long. So what we're going to do is take your calls. We'll gather information, and then we'll try to get your answers taken care of on the air. If not, we're going to gather your phone numbers, and after the show or somewhere tomorrow, you'll get a call back from our guest to help you walk through and navigate some of the questions that you had.
Yeah.
So our guest is here to break down the probate process, address some common hurdles. And if you've ever wondered what happens to a home after the owner passes away or how to handle probate, property sales, this is going to be the show for you.
Yeah, yeah. So without any further ado, we would like to introduce our guest, Alicia Daniels. She's our guest for the evening. Welcome to the show, Alicia.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Please introduce yourself.
Sure. I'm the owner of Genesis Law. I practice in The office is actually in Port St. Lucie, but I actually offer a virtual service.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I only practice estate planning and probate, so focusing on trusts, estates, and the probate process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even though I'm located in Port St. Lucie, again, it's a virtual service, which mm-hmm. allows me to cover the entire state of Florida.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you're one person in a lot of places.
I am, yes.
Yeah, that's good.
It's helpful. I mean, probate mm-hmm. covers, it touches all of us.
Yes.
And so making it as convenient as possible mm-hmm. is a part of, you know, my mindset mm-hmm. and the way the firm is set up.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's got to be great for people, especially when you're dealing with probate. You're already kind of going through a tough time.
Yes.
And have it convenient so you can get access to information without having to jump a lot of hurdles is definitely an advantage of your client.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So tell us, what is probate?
So,
loaded question, right?
No.
Okay, it has a lot of layers to
that's
it now.
Not a loaded
like
question
onion.
At all. And,
okay.
you know, and that's
right.
a question I get often because mm-hmm. people hear the word probate, but mm-hmm. they don't quite know what it means.
Right.
They hear scary stories about mm-hmm. it.
Yes.
So probate is the legal process that allows us to transfer the ownership of property mm-hmm. after someone passes away.
Mm-hmm.
It's court ordered, so there's a judge is involved in the entire process from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what probate is in a nutshell. I mean, there's way more to it,
yes.
but that's the layman's understanding of what probate is.
Yeah, the topic of probate itself can make people cringe, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Especially to have those tough conversations that's, you know, with someone that's still living. So I'm sure there's been multitude of situations that you probably had to deal with that. How do you recommend putting that conversation on the table with family members to have it at that not so feel good time?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a conversation anyone wants to have.
Exactly.
Right. It's
yeah.
it's not comfortable, but it's a very important conversation. And when you initiate that conversation with perhaps a parent, you have to be mindful of the fact that, one, it's uncomfortable, and mm-hmm. two, a lot of times when you're talking about different generations, mm-hmm. this is a taboo subject. Talking
yes.
about what you have is not really a thing,
right.
you know? So you have to bear that in mind when you open that conversation. And then what I recommend for people is you can start out by simply saying, I want to make sure that if something happens to you, mm-hmm. your wishes are honored.
Right.
And the only way to do that is to have a plan in place. It's got to
right.
be in writing, and
right.
it has to be done properly. Because that you don't want a situation where nobody knows what you wanted to
right,
happen
right.
or you have a lot of guessing. Well, this is what mom wanted, and you've
mm-hmm.
got three different kids and three different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to make sure that you're having your wishes honored is to create a plan.
Right.
And then the other recommendation I always have is so many of us know someone who's dealt with probate
mm-hmm.
or they've heard stories about probate.
Mm-hmm.
And so just having the conversation by reminding mom or dad about that person,
right.
that auntie, or they may have even dealt with it with their own siblings.
Right.
right? So just remind them of what happened when.
Mm-hmm.
And that usually will spark that interest in at least having the initial conversation, figuring out what they might need
right.
just to protect themselves.
Yeah.
And that's usually in the form of a will or.
So there are multiple different documents.
Mm-hmm.
In estate planning, I can
mm-hmm.
give you, you know, the key ones. There
mm-hmm.
are three documents that I say everyone should have once
mm-hmm.
you hit the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have a living will
mm-hmm.
and a healthcare surrogate designation.
Mm-hmm.
Some attorneys combine them into two documents.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us do combine them into one. Some of us do two documents.
Mm-hmm.
But what the living will does is it allows you to let us know how you want your life prolonged. If you want to prolonged by artificial means. So if you're, for example, in a persistent vegetative state,
mm-hmm.
you can let us know in advance what you would want done. So
right.
there's no questions and we don't need the court to intervene.
Right.
The healthcare surrogate, it's something where you're going to tell us, this is my person. This
mm-hmm.
is the individual who is authorized to make my medical decisions if
mm-hmm.
I can't do it for myself.
Because mm-hmm.
that's really important.
Right.
You know, once you get to the point where you're incapacitated, if you don't have a healthcare surrogate designation, there needs to be guardianship. So that's a court process
mm-hmm.
to appoint someone to manage your healthcare.
Right.
The other document you should all have is a power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very similar to the healthcare surrogate. We're talking about incapacity,
uh-huh.
but you're designated a person who is going to manage your financial and your legal affairs if
mm-hmm.
you can't do it yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the will, which
yeah.
everyone has heard of a will.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where we tell everyone what we want to happen with our assets when we pass away,
mm-hmm.
who we want them to go to. and who's going to be in charge of managing our probate estate for us. Mm-hmm. And also, if you have minor children, this is where you can identify who their guardians would be, which is also very important.
Yeah, yeah. So if someone, if the will states that someone owns the home, so if they said, okay, this is your home in the will, do they still have to go through the probate process?
And before you answer that question, I'd like to just interject something here. So this is, you know, very rarely do we have a show where every listener actually should really listen hard, because they could have either some involvement or some input at some time. And this is one of those rare shows. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening, and if you're above dirt, and you are, if you're listening, either you've already put in the work or there's work to be done. So we like you to really take a real hard listen to the night show and gather information that's coming from Alicia. You're going to find it very valuable. If not now, sometime in the future. So, and I'm sorry for
no, not at all, not at all.
You know, this is such a rare moment when everybody who's listening could say, "I'm glad I did this already."
Yeah, or,
I need to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, would they need to go through probate if their name is if they're named in the will as the owner of the home?
So one of my key slogans is, a will without probate is just a piece of paper.
Wow. Hmm.
Right? So what a will does
is... I have to coin that.
No, it's mine. So what a will is, it's your instruction manual for the probate case.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When we pass away, you either have a will or you don't have a will.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, if you own property in your name that doesn't transfer automatically by another mechanism, you're going through probate.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know... what's happening in your probate? Are we going to follow the words of a will, or are we going to follow the statutes? Every state has a statute that deals with what happens if you don't have a will.
Okay.
Right? And so that piece of paper is great.
Mm-hmm.
You need to deposit it in the county clerk where the property is located.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're going to open the probate.
Okay.
So without that, it's got to be admitted to probate by a probate judge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because a lot of times people be like, well, I'm on the will, so I don't need to worry about probate.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
I also will get phone calls with someone telling me, I'm the personal representative. You're not until the judge has actually appointed you.
Wow.
Mm. You know, and so oftentimes my probates come from situations where people have been living under the impression that they are the owners of the home they live in. They've been paying the taxes.
Yes.
And then we have to have a conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that could be tough because, you know, I've seen situations where, and you're right, people just self-appoint themselves, you know,
yes,
and the other family
do.
Members.
They just live
worse.
There as if, you know,
nothing
they
happens.
Just
they just continue.
Live, yeah.
And especially, but, you know, before we go there, I wanted to ask you, what if someone dies and there's a mortgage on the property? How does that work and there's no will in place?
So the mortgage doesn't die with us. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
A mortgage is a lien against the property, and it's going to be on that property until it's paid off or they foreclose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't become responsible personally for the debt. Right.
Uh-huh.
So let's say there's a mortgage and you inherited that property. You have to deal with the mortgage because if they don't get paid, they will foreclose.
Mm-hmm.
They can take the property, but they can't actually come after you personally for the money.
Right.
All they can do is take the property from you.
Mm-hmm.
But the mortgage, that's another question I get
often.
Oh,
yeah, I imagine. Is there a qualification? Would that person go through the same qualification with the bank, that process,
so
or automatically?
It really depends on the bank. And, you know, they might... It's up to the homeowner to decide what they want to do.
Right.
And then also each loan has its own rules about what can be done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you might be able to assume a mortgage. You don't see that too often anymore. But if that's possible, the lender is the only one who can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you what the requirements are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, assumption is great because you might be able to keep mom's great interest rate versus, you know,
a
today rate. Right.
Right.
But then sometimes you might have to do a refi.
Mm-hmm. Boy, wouldn't that be great if you can go back to, she had a 2%. for that one.
Right. And I want to keep that one.
Yeah.
It's hard to get the assumptions nowadays, though.
Right.
But if you can, try and grab it. You know, that's the best. That's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what about selling a property during the probate process? Can heirs do that?
Yeah.
And I know there is, but would you share with our listeners? Because this is the first time for a lot of people listening to that.
So the process for selling property during the probate process, it depends on a couple of things. So number one, what type of property are we talking about? Is it the homestead or is it non-homestead? Because okay. it's two different tracks. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that. And then also, is there a will? Is there not a will? Mm-hmm. And if there is a will, what does it say about selling property?
Okay.
So first of all, if there's a will, a lot of times the will will say that the personal representative can sell property.
Okay.
So that's great because mm-hmm. that means you don't need the court to approve you going out and selling the property.
Okay. Right.
But if the will is silent on that, which can happen, or if there is no will, then what you have to do is you have to file a copy of any contract. Yeah, I always say go ahead, list it. The personal representative has to list it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will file a petition to authorize the sale. And you attach the contract to that. And you have to provide a CMA, which you're familiar with that, mm-hmm. a comparative market analysis that tells the judge this price is reasonable for mm-hmm. this particular property. And, mm-hmm. you know, here's the proof of that. And then the judge, you have an objection period. The judge will enter the order. And if the judge says yes, then you can go ahead and sell the property.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's homestead property, it's a little bit
difficult.
Different.
Okay.
Not difficult, but different.
Okay. Okay.
And this is because, so the homestead is a very protected asset
mm-hmm.
in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, according to Florida statutes, as soon as we pass away, title to the homestead actually transfers to the legal heirs or beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But you have to go through probate because we don't know who the legal heirs or beneficiaries are
right.
until
yeah.
the court enters that order.
Yes.
And so if you're trying to sell the homestead property, especially during the creditor period, the 90-day creditor period, mm-hmm. which is the beginning of your probate,
mm-hmm.
you need to have the consent of your heirs because they are the actual owners.
Mm-hmm.
And the title company is not closing without everyone's signature
right.
on the deed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're within the creditor period, we actually have to ask the judge to allow us to sell it during that period. And the trade-off is because we're still, you know, creditors can object to that
sure.
being the
sure
homestead.
Mm-hmm.
And so the trade-off is we're going to close. The realtors get paid.
Mm-hmm.
The taxes get paid.
Mm-hmm.
The mortgage, everything gets paid. So the benefit is you don't have to worry about paying taxes or a mortgage
right.
on this property. But the proceeds, so the
mm-hmm.
money that would ordinarily go to the sellers,
mm-hmm.
has to go into a protected account
mm-hmm.
until the creditor period expires and we get an order that says, yes, this is the homestead property.
Okay.
And that order is really important because if it's homestead, then it's exempt from a lot of creditor claims.
Mm-hmm.
Your mortgage lender, obviously, they have a claim against that.
Mm-hmm.
Your taxes,
mm-hmm.
they can always take the property,
yeah,
right?
They get theirs.
Mm-hmm. And mechanics lien. So let's say you had a roof repaired
mm-hmm.
and you
mm-hmm.
never paid the roofer.
Right.
They can foreclose it with a mechanics lien, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Bank of America that you owe $20,000 on a credit card, they don't get paid.
Right.
They can't force you to sell the homestead.
Right.
So that's why that order is so important.
Mm-hmm.
But once that order gets entered, then I can release the money to the individual heirs who had
okay.
already signed the deed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we are after the period, so the homestead order has already been entered, you don't need the court at all because you
mm-hmm.
guys own the property. Whoever
mm-hmm.
those heirs are that are named on that order,
mm-hmm.
they go ahead, they get a realtor, they list the property, and it's a normal closing. They
mm-hmm.
don't need me anymore for that
mm-hmm.
property.
Mm, yeah, I know. You know, many people think that the probate process is a nightmare, of course. It's just so scary, and it's long, and it's expensive, and full of red tape.
Mm-hmm.
Is that necessarily true?
It depends. So it depends on what kind of probate. We have in Florida two different types of probate.
Mm-hmm.
We have summary administration, which
mm-hmm.
is a shorter process.
Mm-hmm.
It's more
right.
streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have formal administration, which
okay.
is longer
okay.
and can take up to 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
But it really depends on what kind of assets we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
how large of an estate we have. Do we have an IRS situation
mm-hmm.
with, you know, estate taxes?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the exemption on estate taxes is $13.9 million. So if you're under that, we're not worried about an estate
right.
return,
right?
Right.
And then, of course,
right.
the real challenge is fighting. You know,
yeah.
if the siblings are fighting,
mm-hmm.
guess what? Litigation costs money and
oh,
takes
sure
time.
Does. Yeah.
And then if there are issues with creditors, perhaps maybe there's a claim that we're questioning the
mm-hmm.
legitimacy of,
mm-hmm.
you have to litigate that. And so that will add time to the process as well.
Yeah, I know it's not an average time, but if you were to say an average time, and you can give me anyone that you like, what would you say the average time in months?
So I can give you minimums.
Okay,
right?
Good.
All right.
I'll take that.
All right. So with a formal administration, you are looking at a minimum of 90 days from the date the notice to creditors is
okay.
published.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't get published until your personal representative is appointed.
Mm-hmm.
90 days. That's how long our creditors have to file their claims,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, that's where we can't really predict because I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know,
right. We don't know what claims are going to get filed. Right. We don't know what those claims look like. Mm-hmm. And yeah. we don't know what your cousins are going to say,
right,
we file.
Right.
So that's where it's kind of unknown. I will tell you that the letters of administration, which that's basically your permission slip that says you are the person who's been appointed by the court to manage this estate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And those are typically going to expire in a year.
Okay.
So that's your max for a typical probate.
Mm-hmm.
Once you hit that year, you're going to get an order from the judge because they want to know why this case is still in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is when you have to explain what's going on because they will dismiss the case on you if mm-hmm. you don't have, you know, if you mm-hmm. don't respond to them timely. And then for summary administration, you're looking at minimum 30 days.
Yeah.
And that's really dependent on how long it's been since someone passed away.
Okay.
If we are talking about someone who passed away within 2 years, mm-hmm. which is the statute of limitations for mm-hmm. creditors mm-hmm. in Florida after we pass away,
mm-hmm.
We have to, and they're over the age of 55, mm-hmm. we have to serve the Agency for Healthcare Administration, which is Medicaid.
Okay.
We are required, even if you tell me mom didn't collect Medicaid,
because mm-hmm.
I get that all the time.
Yeah.
We are required by Florida statute, if someone is 55 or over, we must serve them. And so they have 30 days to respond.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of stuck for those 30 days.
Okay.
Now, if it's more than 2 years since someone passed away,
mm-hmm.
the timeline is really going to depend on the family. Mm-hmm. And it's going to depend on, is everyone happy and consenting
mm-hmm. on the same page.
You just added 2 years to it.
Right?
Yeah, you just added 2 years to it.
You know, because if
you
everyone
just changed
consents,
the entire game after that one.
Now yeah. I'm expecting yeah. cooperation,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, but if they consent, then I can actually file those consents with the court. Once mm-hmm. those are processed by the clerk, I submit the order. The case is done.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't have consents, then I have to serve them. And mm-hmm. then they have 25 days to respond. They can object.
Okay.
And then we don't know if they're going to object and what those objections look
right.
like and where we go from there. So that's where you're, again, stuck at not knowing exactly how
the
long
unknowns.
It's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What can the home be sold without probate if the title is held in joint tenancy, or how does that work? And if you would, for our listening audience, if you would explain what joint tenancy is as well.
Okay, so joint tenancy, there are a couple of ways where you can actually avoid probate.
Mm-hmm.
And joint tenancy, that's where you own the property with someone else,
mm-hmm.
and you own it with rights of survivorship, which mm-hmm. is the key language.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is the survivor takes all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if that happens, then once that individual passes away, title actually transfers automatically to the survivor. So you don't need probate. The survivor owns it full 100%,
mm-hmm.
and they can sell it, just mm-hmm. like a normal ownership mm-hmm. of property.
Right.
Another way you can avoid probate with real estate is what's called, here we call it a ladybird deed,
mm-hmm.
but it's really an enhanced life estate deed.
Okay.
Now, a life estate deed simply says this person is the life tenant. They own the property during their life.
Okay.
And on that deed, it's also going to have another person.
Mm-hmm.
And that person is going to take, or it could be more than one person as well.
Okay.
But they mm-hmm. take title when the life tenant passes away.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this happens automatically at death.
Okay.
So here we go again. We
yeah.
don't need probate. And then the other way we can avoid probate is with a trust.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that is owned by the trust, so it's got to be in the trust
mm-hmm.
before you die.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in the trust before you die, it avoids probate because you are not the owner.
Mm-hmm.
So the trustee yeah. will be able to list that property, sell that property.
Mm-hmm.
So those are your three key ways to avoid probate.
So if you had your druthers, which would you say is your preference of the different ways to avoid it?
So I would not do a joint tenant with survivorship
mm-hmm. okay.
Because guess what? If you add someone to that property, their problems become your problems.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
Their creditors, if they get divorced,
right.
guess what? Your
yeah.
home is now subject to whatever's
yeah.
going on over there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm not a huge fan of adding people to the deed mm-hmm. willy-nilly like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then the choice between life estate deeds and trust, it's really going to depend on the individual's situation,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they do two different things. Now, the beauty of a trust is you are able to kind of control things from the grave, if that's what you want to
do. That's
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Uh-huh.
So- yeah, you know me. I'm that guy. Yeah.
Exactly.
You're that guy.
Bring me water.
Oh, you did not?
Yeah.
Right. So with a trust, you can
You're going to earn it with me. Yeah.
How someone is going to receive their inheritance.
Right.
Are you going to put stipulations? Right. Maybe
yes.
certain ages.
Age, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want you to have a degree before you get it, right?
Yeah.
So that's
those are great triggers too as well.
I mean,
people work for you know, the reward.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They're going to work for that house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the things you can do with a trust.
Mm-hmm.
With a life estate deed, and so I'm going to leave it at Lady Bird Deeds because mm-hmm. that is very unique to Florida.
Yeah.
They're kind of our thing.
Yeah.
And so with a Lady Bird Deed, you do retain that control during your life. So mm-hmm. you can change your mind if you decide, I don't really want to give it to that person.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty much it. There's no other control. I mean, mm-hmm. you can sell the property. You can refinance the property if mm-hmm. you want. And of course, like I said, you can change your mind. But that person, when you pass away, they are going to take title. There's no controls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on the client, what their wishes are. Also, do they have children that we need to be mindful of? So mm-hmm. those are some of the things that we need to talk about.
Yeah. So what's the first step in the probate process again?
The first step in probate is filing a petition.
Okay.
And if there is a will, you need to file the will with the county clerk in the county where the person resided or mm-hmm. where the property is located.
Okay.
Now, if you don't have the original will because mm-hmm. paper disappears and we lose it, it gets caught in a hurricane,
mm-hmm.
There is a process for probating a copy. It's just a little bit more, mm-hmm. you know, more steps are involved.
Okay.
But mm-hmm. it's, you can probate a copy.
Okay.
And after that, what happens?
So the next step is you're going to be appointed by the court as the mm-hmm. personal representative. Someone's going to be, maybe not you, but someone's going to be appointed.
Right.
And then that person's job is to inventory the assets of the estate.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when your ability to keep records is going to be important
mm-hmm.
because we have to know every asset that's a part of that estate. And then we're going to file an inventory with the court, but we're also going to be taking in all of the creditor claims that come in. We have to keep track of those.
Mm-hmm.
The personal representative really, really should keep track of their expenses that they spend mm-hmm. during the process, mm-hmm. any disbursements that they make during the process,
mm-hmm.
because we want to make sure that they're properly reimbursed.
Yeah.
And we are going to have to file a final accounting. We have to account for every dime.
Mm-hmm.
Money can't just disappear, right?
Yeah. Right.
Because the personal representative is beholden to the beneficiaries and the creditors, mm-hmm. right? So we have to do everything by the book. We have to document everything. But once we've paid those creditors,
mm-hmm.
then that last step is going to be making our distributions of whatever's left to the legal heirs, or if there's a will, then they're called the beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
We do that. We get our receipts from everybody that says, yes, we got our money, we got our house, we got our whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then we file the final discharge order asking the judge to close out the case. And that's the pretty much four steps of probate.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So in your opinion, what is the number one mistake that people make?
Doing it themselves.
Mm.
Trying to create their estate plans themselves. Mm. And I get it. It's tempting. You see these, you know, ads all over social media and on TV about these different companies that are offering the service. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's $99.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that
about... went up.
You know, I will tell you that maybe about 30 to 40% of my probates come out of people trying to do it themselves.
Oh, no.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
You know, you put the wrong language in there, you don't sign it properly, and now we need probate, or we need to get the judge to come in and tell us, you know, fix a problem.
Okay.
Wow.
I've got a question.
Quick one.
And this is quick, but I want you to share with our listeners the difference just quickly between an executor and an administrator.
So it's just different states, right?
Okay.
So in New York, I'm licensed in New York and New mm-hmm. Jersey as well. And we have executors. The executor is appointed through the will
mm-hmm.
and an administrator up there as well.
Mm-hmm.
They are when you don't have a will. That's mm-hmm. really the difference. In Florida, we have personal representatives for both.
Okay, great. Well, you know, that was such valuable information, Alicia. How can someone find you?
So on social media, mm-hmm. my handle across all social media is Lil Bit of Law, LilBitOflaw.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone number is 772-539-9831. And the website is GenesisLawPA.com. GenesisLawPA.com.
Awesome. Well, you can reach us at Treasure Coast RG on Instagram. Thank you so much. That was our show
Great
for
show,
tonight.
Thank you.
We loved having you.
Thank you for
having me. We'll see you guys next week. You'll hear from us.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to the Keeping It Real Estate Show with your hosts, Luke Lewis and Tiffany Young. Thanks for tuning in as we explored everything you need to know about buying, selling, and investing in real estate. Our mission is to keep you informed and ahead of the curve in today's market. Be sure to join us next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for more expert insights, tips, and local market updates. You can always reach us at 772-510-6801 or by visiting our website at treasurecoastrealtygroup.com. Until then, stay informed, stay inspired, and of course, keep it real in real estate.
You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, presenting a daily conservative pro-family perspective since 1983.